Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, titled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form. Today we're going to do text 51 and 52. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tato Bhaktir Bhagavati. Tato Bhaktir Bhagavati. Putri Bhute Janardane. Putri Bhute Janardane. Dampatyor Nitaram Asid Tataha. Thereafter, Bhakti Bhagavati. The cult of bhakti, devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Putri Bhute, in the Lord, who had appeared as the son of Mother Yashoda. Janardane, in Lord Krishna. Dampatyo, of both husband and wife. Nitaram, continuously. Asit, there was. Gopa Gopishu, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. The Gopas and the Gopis, associating with Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and following in their footsteps. Bharata, O Maharaj Parikshit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving, devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the Gopas and Gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Purport. Although when the Supreme Personality of Godhead stole the butter, curd, and milk of the neighboring gopas and gopis, this teasing superficially seemed troublesome. In fact, it was an exchange of affection in the ecstasy of devotional service. The more the gopas and gopis exchanged feelings with the Lord, the more their devotional service increased. Sometimes we may superficially see that a devotee is in difficulty because of being engaged in devotional service, but the fact is different. When a devotee suffers for Krishna, that suffering is transcendental enjoyment. Unless one becomes a devotee, this cannot be understood. When Krishna exhibited his childhood pastimes, not only did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda increase their affection, but those in their association also increased in devotional service. In other words, persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. The final text of this chapter doesn't have a purport, so we will also read that.
Krishna Brahmana Adesham Satyam Kartam Braje Vibhu Saharamo Vasams Chakre Tesham Pritim Svalilaya.
Translation. Thus the Supreme Personality, Krishna, along with Balaram, lived in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma. By exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood, he increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form Within His Mouth.
Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunam Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Rahagana Raguna Anvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanditam Sha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutatevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tiruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances to all of the Vaishnavas here, especially our seniors. I don't at all feel fit and qualified to speak on this very exalted subject matter. When I was a brand new devotee, there was a nice devotee who gave a beautiful class, and afterwards I expressed appreciation to that person. Thank you for giving such a nice class. And his response was, if you just repeat what Srila Prabhupada said, then everyone will be happy and satisfied. So, in that spirit, we'll try to repeat some things that we heard from Srila Prabhupada. So, this purport is talking about the loving exchanges, the relationships that the gopis had with Krishna, and that they were not in a spirit that one might expect of a devotee worshiping God. There was all kinds of contrary behavior in their exchanges of affection. This chapter explained, there were a few sections of this chapter. First, there was the name-giving ceremony of Gargamuni. He was the Brahmin priest of Vasudev, who inspired him to come to Nanda Maharaj. They had a name-giving ceremony. It had to be done in secret so that it wouldn't bring any attention to Kamsa. Otherwise, he might become suspicious that the child of Devaki had come to the house of Nanda Maharaj. So they made it in secret, and many beautiful things came out. It seems that the names were given based on the astrological reading. Balaram, they said, he will give pleasure to everybody, so he will be known as Rama. And he has extraordinary strength, so he will be known as Bala. And because he brings together the two families of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, he will be known as Sankarshan. And Krishna, it was said, he appears in every age. In previous ages, he was in a white color, in a red color, in a yellow color. Now he is in a black color. Also, he came as Ramachandra. Now it's like all of those incarnations have come into one person. And this person, he gave so much trouble to demons, rogues, in previous lives. Now he will do the same. And anyone who is associated with him, there will be all auspiciousness for that person, for that society. He will always protect your family. This child is as good as Narayan, the astrologer said. So Nanda Maharaj is very satisfied with that. Then it's described how first the children were infants. They were crawling around, looking like serpents, crawling through the mud of Vrindavan, the cow dung and the cow urine. Sometimes they would pull on the calves' tails, and the calves would react, and the children would get dragged along the floor, and the ladies would laugh. It says that they were in constant anxiety. The mothers were in constant anxiety for their children because there were always so many threats. What about the dogs and the monkeys and the cows? They can get harmed. They can get harmed from the fire. There can be sharp objects and weapons and things on the ground. They can be harmed by those things. They constantly had full anxiety in their maternal affection. It says how they were giving their own breast milk, Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, and they were then the small teeth of Krishna and Balaram were coming in. They were charmed by that. And then the children grew up a little bit, and Krishna became a complete rascal. He was super naughty. And the gopis were complaining to Mother Yashoda that sometimes he comes to our houses and there's this Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Kornitai Ki Jai, Radhasham Sundar Lalita Vishakadevi Ki Jai. So there's a system for milking the cows, and Krishna would disturb that system because he would release the calves at the wrong time, and then they would take the milk from the cows. He would steal the dairy products of the home, the milk, the yogurt, the butter. He would steal that and he would eat it, and when he had his fill, he would distribute to the monkeys. And when the monkeys were all full, he would say, "This dairy is useless," and he would throw it on the ground and break it. They were complaining to Mother Yashoda like this. They said, and if he comes to a house and there are no dairy products, then he'll find the small babies and he'll pinch the babies and make them cry, and in that way disturb the house. And when the master of the house, he can come and he will chastise Krishna and say, "Hey, you're a thief. You're stealing all of our dairy products." And Krishna will say, "No, you're a thief." And they were also complaining, sometimes just in a clean place in the house, Krishna will come and he will pass urine and he will pass stool there. So they were complaining, "What a rascal child. He's doing all of these things." But at the same time, Krishna was so attractive, so charming, so beautiful, So Mother Yashoda would smile, and ultimately no one really wanted to chastise him for that. So these kinds of exchanges are not ordinary. They are a very different relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the speciality of Vrindavan, the magic of Vrindavan. And so Srila Prabhupada is saying here, this teasing superficially seemed troublesome. In fact, it was an exchange of affection in the ecstasy of devotional service. The more the gopas and gopis exchanged feelings with the Lord, the more their devotional service increased. So it's not that they were having trouble with Krishna, it's that this was their exchange of affection, and it increased their devotion. Sometimes we may superficially see that a devotee is in difficulty because of being engaged in devotional service. But the fact is different. So Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, they're worried, you know, what if our babies are hurt? And so it seems like they're in anxiety and in stress, but their anxiety and stress is not the mundane type of anxiety and stress. On the transcendental platform, all of these kinds of emotions which may be something troublesome, something negative on the material platform, they become a different type of ecstasy. Like even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's praying in Shikshastaka, Yugayatam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravashayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vidahename. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I consider a moment to be like 12 years or more. On any material platform, that's horrible. You know, if we have attachment to somebody and they're gone, and we're missing them, and we're feeling pain, that's like the worst type of pain. And so how is this? But in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is the highest type of ecstasy. This type of very strong emotion, but when it's in relationship to Krishna, then it's the highest type of ecstasy. If you look at the prayers, the bhajans of our acharyas, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're full of so much contrary kind of sentiment. They have extreme humility, feeling I'm very sinful, I'm a wretched person, I'm very fallen, I'm just living in this world knowingly drinking poison. It's also a horrible sentiment, but on the transcendental plane, it's a type of ecstasy. Unless one becomes a devotee, this cannot be understood. Another example is Queen Kunti. She's praying, let the calamities come again and again. Because when the calamities come, that's when we remember Krishna more. So, any reasonable person, but with someone that doesn't have a transcendental conception, how can they think like that? It's horrible to think, let the calamities come again and again. Who wants that? But when there's a transcendental consciousness, when there's Krishna consciousness, then all of these things take a different character. Even in our own lives, we may have the experience, we go through some difficulty, some calamity. We may have that experience. Looking back, we see how actually, even though it was painful, it was very difficult, it was favorable for Krishna consciousness. It helped me surrender a little further. It helped me take shelter of Krishna a little more. We may experience that. So yes, unless one becomes a devotee, this cannot be understood. Who can understand these things in the mundane sphere? Another point to say Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Adi Lila, in the chapter 4, The Confidential Reasons for the Lord's Appearance, he describes very wonderfully the relationships that exist in Vrindavan. It says, Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vart manuvartante manusha partha sarvashaha. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Braj, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, "What kind of big man are you? You and I are equal." So these are the special sentiments of Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda is binding Krishna. Krishna's friends are having sporting matches with him, saying, "What kind of big man are you?" It goes on, "If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas." So like it said at the beginning of this 10th canto, once when the world was overburdened with, I forget the adjective, with rogue kings, with demonic kings, then the earth approached Brahma in the shape of a cow and made her appeal. And so Brahma, along with Bhumi, the earth, and with so many demigods, they went to the milk ocean to appeal to Vishnu. At that time, they chanted the Purusha Shukta prayers, Srila Prabhupada writes. So, but here, if my beloved consort, so that's like, that's kind of a standard to worship God in a reverential mood, that God is supreme, I am subordinate. In this chapter also, it was described how Krishna ate earth. The Balaram, the cowherd boys, they complained to Mother Yashoda, "Your son has eaten earth." And when Mother Yashoda approached Krishna about that, he said, "They're lying. They're liars. Actually, they've done something wrong, and they're lying about me so that I don't tell on them." He said, "If you want, you just look in my mouth." And when Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth, she saw the whole universe. All the earth, all the mountains, the oceans, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Three modes of nature. She saw herself in Vrindavan Dham. And so initially she became somewhat reverential. She thought again, "I should surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. actually I am in illusion, thinking that I am the queen of Vrindavan and that Nanda Maharaj is the king and that I am owning so many cows. Actually, I am the servant of God. She was thinking more in that reverential mood. But Krishna, again, by the influence of his yoga maya, covered her, and she came back to her natural position, feeling maternal affection, and she fed her son. So Krishna enjoys that more. If a devotee is in a reverential mood, it's not as attractive as these devotees who are putting Krishna in the subordinate position. They're taking the superior position and putting Krishna in the inferior position. Srila Prabhupada has a very nice purport. I hope it's okay if I read. In this Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains the point very perfectly. He says, according to the Upanishads, all living entities are dependent on the Supreme Living Entity, the Personality of Godhead. As it is said in Katha Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kaman. One eternal living entity supports all the other eternal living entities. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all the other living entities, they remain subordinate to the Lord, even when joined with Him in the reciprocation of loving affairs. But in the course of exchanging transcendental love of the highest purity, sometimes the subordinate devotee tries to predominate over the predominator. One who lovingly engages with the Supreme Lord as if he were his mother or father sometimes supersedes the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, his fiancé or lover sometimes supersedes the position of the Lord, but such attempts are exhibitions of the highest love. Only out of pure love does the subordinate lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead chide him. The Lord, enjoying this chiding, takes it very nicely. Chiding means like to criticize, to correct. Only a superior can do that. The exhibition of natural love makes such activities very enjoyable. In worship of the Supreme Lord with veneration, there is no manifestation of such natural love because the devotee considers the Lord his superior. Regulative principles in devotional service are meant for those who have not invoked their natural love of Godhead. When natural love arises, all regulative methods are surpassed, and pure love is exhibited between the Lord and the devotee. Although on such a platform of love, the devotee sometimes appears to predominate over the Lord or transgress regulative principles, such dealings are far more advanced than ordinary dealings through regulative principles with awe and veneration. A devotee who is actually free from all designations due to complete attachment in love for the Supreme exhibits spontaneous love for Godhead, which is always superior to the devotion of regulative principles. So by any regulation for Yashoda or for any of the other residents of Vrindavan for that matter, for them to chide Krishna, for them to chastise him, to correct him, to tie him up, it's outrageous. It's completely beyond any regulative principle of how a devotee should worship Godhead. But Krishna enjoys it more when the devotee is in a mood of taking the superior position. As a parent, Krishna is my dependent. As my friend, he is my equal, and so on. The informal language used between lover and beloved is indicative of pure affection. When devotees worship their beloved as the most venerable object, spontaneous loving sentiments are observed to be lacking. A neophyte devotee who follows the Vedic instructions that regulate those who lack pure love of Godhead may superficially seem more exalted than a devotee in spontaneous love of Godhead. But in fact, such spontaneous pure love is far superior to regulated devotional service. Such pure love of Godhead is always glorious in all respects, more so than reverential devotional service rendered by a less affectionate devotee. I think another point to make, these verses are coming as a response. In the final section of this chapter, Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadeva Goswami, how was Mother Yashoda so fortunate? Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, how did they have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their child? And even more than that, they were giving their breast milk. Uddhava Prabhu was telling how, you know, Mother Devaki, she barely got the chance. One time. He said one time. But Mother Yashoda is consistently, how are they so fortunate? So the question was answered by Sukadeva Goswami, was describing a history of, what is the name? Dara and Drona. Sorry. So Dara and Drona, in the past, they appealed to Brahma. They were preachers, actually. They wanted the Lord to manifest in this world because they had compassion for the conditioned souls. They wanted to benefit the conditioned souls by showing, by displaying, by the Lord appearing so that they could be purified, so that all could be purified by seeing the pastimes, hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. So it's not so different from our mood. We also want to try to develop that compassion. We see Srila Prabhupada had that compassion, all the trouble and pain he took to show compassion for others. And this is the real compassion, the real welfare work. People have the conception welfare work means to benefit others on the material platform. Let's say opening hospitals and schools, feeding the hungry, giving money to the poor. But there is no comparison to the welfare of helping others advance in their eternal dharma of devotional service to the Lord. That is the platform on which one can do real welfare work. I found this on my shelf yesterday. I borrowed this from Bhubaneshwar Prabhu a few years ago. Somehow he never asked for it back. I never gave it back. Sorry? Yeah. So this is a compilation of many nice instructions from Srila Prabhupada. So the point is that actually I'm a little confused, this point about Drona and Dara, then they became Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Something was said yesterday, they kind of came together. Still Rupa Goswami says you cannot become Yashoda, you cannot become Nanda Maharaj. So I would personally like more clarity on this point. It's a little mysterious. But in any case, the question was asked, what is the background? What is the history? How is it possible to become like Nanda and Yashoda? And if there is an answer to that question, then it is this. They had the mood of preaching. They were preachers. They wanted Krishna consciousness spread amongst the fallen conditioned soul. That was their eligibility. That is what gave them the qualification. Srila Prabhupada writes, The living entity must preach this knowledge of self-realization after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but because a living entity is spirit soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivera Sarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and should preach it to the mass of people. So our mission in our society is like that. Especially our society is meant to distribute transcendental knowledge in the form of books. Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name, and Krishna Prasad, the food that has been offered to the deity. Those are three of our most important activities. And if we'll follow that, then we can have a hope to attain qualification like the residents of Vrindavan, as it's being said here. How did Nanda Maharaj, how did Mother Yasoda become so fortunate? Because they wanted to benefit the conditioned souls by helping them advance in Krishna consciousness, by facilitating the appearance of Krishna into this world in Vrindavan. Whenever I sit up here, I always forget like 90% of what I want to say. Please excuse me. Maybe if we can stop here if there are any questions or comments. Right. I think this was said yesterday also. The point is to externally with the body we should follow the especially the Goswamis, our Acharyas. Ultimately Srila Prabhupada, we can accept him as the topmost resident of Vrindavan. And so I think the answer is always to follow the instructions of our Acharya. Then we're safely on the path to following the residents of Vrindavan. Sometimes devotees want to get creative, you know, they have a different idea, Prabhupada didn't say something, I have to learn it over here, over there. There's no need for that. We can feel confident that everything is here. Prabhupada is the topmost resident of Vrindavan. And if we'll follow his path sincerely, then we can hope for all perfection. Is that okay?
Yeah. Very nice. Remembering 10%, very good.
Thank you for the nice question. So it is mentioned here that sometimes it's like in externally we say yogi suffering. But he's suffering from Krishna, but that's a consequence, expressing reality. My question is, sometimes it's voluntary, like, you know, waking up early in the morning, coming for the program, it's a lot of, we may think it's a challenge, but that is an expressing reality, coming from the morning program, getting the morning program, it's a challenge, but sometimes, there could be a lot of expressing behind that. But sometimes it's involuntary, something that holds on the devotee. So how can that be done?
Well, I think if one is on the stage of sadhana, there may not be ecstasy, but it is an aspiration for ecstasy. Again, Srila Prabhupada is a fully ecstatic devotee. In the spiritual realm, we have Satchidananda spiritual bodies. We are eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. We are aspiring to come to that platform. There may be so much trouble taken, there may be so much difficulty, but that ultimate end is what we are striving for. Real sadhana means it is an aspiration for the attainment of bhava bhakti. Rupa Goswami writes that. I will forget the whole verse if I try, but it's like kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya sadhana something. I'm sorry. Is that all right? Wow, thank you. Thank you so much. So, is that all right? So, in different platforms of devotional service, this ecstasy may not be there. When Mother Yashoda is in full anxiety for the safety of her son, then that is a type of ecstasy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, crying in the agony of separation from Krishna, that is a type of ecstasy. As sadhakas, you know, like in my own experience, I see how Krishna maybe pushed me or gave me different obstacles or challenges. A couple of years ago, I was in kind of a unfortunate accident and I was injured badly. There was no ecstasy in that. That was hellish. It was absolute misery. But over time, I can kind of look back and see how Krishna was pushing me closer to Him, and how there was something in that experience that was favorable for my Krishna consciousness. So I think like that, devotees can, they may be able to appreciate how reverses in life are also favorable for them. It may not be immediately like a feeling of ecstasy. Is that okay? Yes, Prabhu? Ultimately, I guess the answer is something like, you should go there and find out. Well, right. I saw a hand here, a hand there. Sorry, it's hard to hear you.
Used to do spirit of knowledge of Prabhupada when he had a moment to live. And in the protocol, Prabhupada specifically gives four activities that are recommended in Vrindavan. Attending party, worshipping the deity, chanting Hare Krishna, and preaching Krishna consciousness.
I'm sorry, the question was to define the word asakti? Well, I can just say in a very simple way, there are the nine stages of devotional service, beginning with Shraddha and culminating in Prema. Let's see if I can remember this. They are Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. So Shraddha means some preliminary faith. Sadhu Sangha means the association of devotees. Bhajana Kriya means the process of worshipping or the process of devotional service, engaging in the process of devotional service. Nishta means when one has become fixed in that worship. Ruchi is when one develops a taste from being fixed. And Asakti is when one has an addiction. And that is before the stage of bhava, where one has some transcendental emotion for the Lord. Is that all right? Just leave it there. Thank you so much for your attention. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.